Welkom bij Imposter Talks, de podcast voor senior leaders, founders en CEO's die voor zichzelf de lat hoog leggen. Met deze podcast willen we jou nieuwe mogelijkheden laten zien om te excelleren en om voluit te genieten van het succes waar jij hard voor werkt. Ik ben Sarah, founder van Rethinking Leadership en jouw host en coach. In dit tweede seizoen van Imposter Talks ga ik in gesprek met senior leaders, founders en CEO's om jou, vanuit hun persoonlijke ervaring, nieuwe inzichten en een krachtig perspectief te geven op die impostergedachten. Net zoals in het eerste seizoen ben ik alweer op missie om het taboe rond het best bewaarde geheim van de boardroom, het imposterfenomeen, op te heffen. Als je luistert en verhalen hoort die bij jou resoneren, je bent zeker niet alleen met die impostergedachten en ze hoeven jou helemaal niet in de weg te zitten. Veel luisterplezier! Goedemorgen, welkom bij Imposter Talks. Ik heb hier vandaag bij mij een Engelstalige gast zitten. Ik wou haar absoluut ook op mijn podcastshow hebben. Dus in tegenstelling tot alle andere afleveringen ga ik deze aflevering in het Engels doen. Alle andere afleveringen gaan terug in het Nederlands zijn. Dus vandaag neem ik jullie even mee in het verhaal in het Engels. My guest today is Christina Zwen. Christina is founder of Kinemania, a brand of storytelling shoes and bags with a balanced mix of humility, sobriety and dare. Christina was also nominated as a finalist for the Belgian Veuve Clicquot Bold Future Awards in 2022. Hello, Christina. Welcome at Imposter Talks.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello. I'm really glad you were able to make it finally. Christina, I visited your beautiful boutique in the prestigious Royal Gallery of Saint-Hubert in the center of Brussels a couple of weeks ago. Could you tell us to start with more about your professional background and how your journey as an entrepreneur started?
Yes, definitely. So I actually have a BA in marketing from which I was never really convinced. So I did various jobs when I was younger, of course. I worked in real estate. I did the marketing of a music label. I worked with a jewelry designer as well. But voilà, none was quite convincing. So then I was given a few belts by my grandmother, who is very coquette. And this was actually, I think, the trigger to my entrepreneurial journey. And so from that, the series of belts that she gave me, I designed belts, which I sold at a local market. And from there on, this was the trigger to my world, to my initiation into the world of leather.
Yep.
So I created this brand of belts called Kinza Designs, which actually got me to meet a designer of leather accessories, for which I became the production manager and the designer for the brand. That was in Lebanon. So that was between Beirut and New York, actually. Mm-hmm. And then 6 years later, I moved to Brussels. And this is where I actually created my line of shoes called Kinamania.
Kinamania, yeah. You told me as well, so you have quite a part that came before the Kinamania brand. You told me that at the age of 18, you were also quite overwhelmed by all the possibilities that were out there, which is something I also experienced myself, and I also still see it amongst many other 18-year-olds. Your initial choice was based on the expectations of, let's say, the world around you. How did that influence your way of thinking? You say, yeah, I did quite a couple of things. It didn't always go that well. How did the fact that you doubted a bit at the age of 18, how did that influence your way of thinking and believing in yourself?
Well, I think at 18, it's easier to cope with because everybody's a bit lost. Mm-hmm. But I realized as well back then that most of my friends knew what they wanted to do in life. So they studied and they knew that they wanted to work in the path that they studied. But I was really not convinced at all. So I did a series of internships. I worked at the bank a bit. I had an internship with the United Nations, UNHCR. I traveled to Costa Rica. I worked in a bookstore. I DJed for a few years. So I always kept myself busy just because I think I wasn't really convinced of what I do. And then I think there's another thing that some people have the capacity of being disconnected emotionally from what they work and what they do. So basically they work for the salary and then the salary enables them to have hobbies or have, you know, travel, have a life, etc. And I don't have this capacity. So I really have to do something that I love, and I have to wake up for something that I love every day, which is, I think, why I constantly, from day one, started to look for my real path.
Which is also a beautiful drive to, to start your day every day.
I guess so. It's a bit, it's a challenge though. It's a challenge as long as you haven't found.
That's true. Yeah.
But I mean, once you have found the, what makes you wake up every morning, then life is much easier.
And now you have found it. You have Kinamania, you have your brand. You are in Brussels now. You call yourself a self-taught shoe designer. You founded Kinamania in 2015 after countless hours spent observing and assisting local artisans in your hometown, Beirut. To what extent did that fuel your imposter thoughts? The fact that you were indeed this, or are this, self-taught shoe designer?
I think in that case, what I would say is also, I've realized through the years that there are two different types of entrepreneurs. There are some who think and then act, and some others act and then think. And I am part of the second category. So I do what I feel and then I start thinking about it. So I think when I decided to launch a brand of shoes, I did not even realize that I wasn't a shoe designer, or I hadn't studied shoe design, or... So this is when the imposter talk, the imposter syndrome hit me. Especially, I think, when you start, when you create a product, and then when you ask people to buy this product. So basically, it has a commercial.
It has a value.
It has a commercial value. So this is where I started feeling uncomfortable, thinking, but is the shoe well constructed? I don't even know about shoemaking. And I think even exchanging with the pattern makers of different factories was not enough information to actually soothe me down. So this is where it was quite uncomfortable for me as a feeling.
Yeah. And you already told me what you did, because I have had a conversation before this podcast interview, of course. So I know already. This typical thinking of, I don't really have the diploma, or I don't have the expertise, and now I have to ask money for something. That is something that I see a lot. And then people tend to either dive into the expertise, get additional courses, or they start working very hard, or they are looking for ways to kind of get over or get rid of that uncomfortable feeling. What did you do specifically to indeed take some steps in that?
I was lucky, because I do believe that when you're convinced about something, the universe put the right people on your path. And I was very lucky to meet a shoe designer, actually a Belgian shoe designer, Christel Peters, who's also Flemish, by the way. And so I actually hired her as a consultant, just to understand and to, I think, validate how I was designing the shoe, how I was constructing the shoe, because a shoe is quite complex. It's not, it's the 3D element, and two, it's something that you really wear every day from morning till evening, and then you really have to be comfortable. So choosing the right material is really key for that. So when I chose, and I asked Crystal to actually, be a consultant for me for half a day. At the end of the day, so basically I paid someone to validate what I did. And at the end of the day, she just said to me, but I don't think you need me, Christina. And just this was rewarding.
So this, and she was actually there for half a day then.
And she was there for half a day. So it only took a few hours to just get this, soothe this feeling down. But then also I realized that to be able to have more flexibility in terms of design, I still needed to be trained as a prototype maker, so to be able to make my own shoes. And I think it's only in in Belgium that this can actually happen. So I discovered that there was a school, the Centre de Formation, that actually gives shoe prototyping classes, evening classes, for 3 years. So this is what I did. I registered to that. Now, it was also in Flemish, by the way. And back then, I didn't speak. Now, my knowledge of Flemish is quite little.
We could have done it in Dutch then.
Not that much. No, not that much. But actually, for the class, what I did is that I knew the class was starting, let's say, in September. And in April, I said, okay, I absolutely have to do this, even if it's in Flemish. So I registered and I took two lessons of A1, A2 in Flemish to be able to follow that class.
Ah, yeah, okay.
So nothing stopped me when I discovered
you were very decisive. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You were going for it.
Yeah. Definitely.
And you, indeed, you had this consultant for half a day. You followed then the shoe course, or the prototyping shoe course. What I see a lot is this, that part, you know, this external validation that people are indeed looking for that. For you, it was just half a day where you say, okay, this for me smoothed my feeling. How did it really shift in terms of external validation that completely freed you from that, let's say? Do you still have it now, or do you really have this inner confidence where you say, okay, Kinamania is my brand, I know my way forward, and you have kind of you have diffused yourself from this external validation in a way?
I think I did fully, actually, but I don't think it just came with this half a day.
Because
I think it's a sequence, and it comes with, you know, the different people you meet along the way. I think it comes because I think the more you mature a project, the more your vision is clear. So then, because at some point you have so many ideas and you don't know which one to take. So to just have a clear vision, clear steps to take to actually get to your objective, then as long, you know, as much as you grow in your project as well, you start having a network of professionals. And when you know that people believe in you, so let's say in the case of my project, I would now work with graphic designers, photographer, content creators, soon an architect for the store. So the fact that I have different people that trust me and that want to work with me. And plus, you know, when you start generating money as well. So I think the first thing is not only, it's generating enough money to be able to pay external people.
To invest as well. Yeah.
Very rewarding. And once you get to this level, I think this does give a lot of confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. And indeed you say, I don't have it anymore, this search for external validation, because you really know your steps. You also see that people start buying your product, people trust you to come and work for you, to work together with you. The moment that you indeed can separate yourself from this external validation, it also gives a lot of freedom.
It does.
See it with a lot of people, so my question was actually, but you also say it does. Mm-hmm. My question was, do you also experience it? But
yes, it does, but I think I have a little important detail that happened in my life. I think that when you are an entrepreneur, there's always, you know, you do have this fear of, am I going to succeed? Am I not going to succeed? I actually had health problems. Mm-hmm. So I had cancer 2 years ago. And I think this was, luckily I'm fine now, everything is okay. But I think this really makes you realize that, one, you only live once, and two, there's nothing to be scared about.
Yeah.
And I think this actually made me stronger. So it did not make me weaker, but it really made me stronger. And I, you know, there's no more right from wrong. There's no more needing for validation from not needing validation. It's just what you feel, what you want to put into place, as long, of course, as you respect the environment you work
with,
people that are around you, and you still listen to this inner voice that makes you move forward in your project.
Yeah. And that inner voice is indeed very powerful. You have
powerful
talks to yourself than,
I do talk to myself in the mirror very often.
When
I look at myself, I support myself.
Or in the car.
Yes, or in the car. Yeah.
you say now this inner voice is very powerful, and I trust on it. When I talked to you in Brussels, you told me you really have to trust yourself, which was for me also a very powerful one-liner that you mentioned. You are on a mission with Kinamania. Yeah, that's very clear. You want to make Kinamania the storytelling footwear that crafts your day. How does your mission help you to continue to take the necessary actions? And what are then indeed some next steps that you are going to take or that you envision for yourself?
The fact that I now have a clear objective in terms of, you know, my business plan and where I want to get with the brand. So my idea is to actually make this brand an international brand.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a lot of ambition.
Yeah. I know.
So the idea is to actually open a first flagship store, an official flagship store, which actually opens in September. So I do have, so just to get back to the story. So yes, so for the past 2 years, I've had pop-up boutiques.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was to actually test different geographical locations in Brussels and different types of clientele. So I was indeed where we met the last shop. I was for a little bit more than a year in the Galerie Royale Saint-Hubert. But now I chose to leave this neighborhood and to go to a neighborhood where there's more of my type of clientele, which is actually active women that are professional active women, let's say. So I am opening this official flagship store in September. It will be in Etterbeek. So that's
congratulations. Brussels.
Thank you. Yes. And then the idea is to open a second shop in 2026 and then to go international afterwards. So this is the plan on the long run.
A very exciting plan.
Yep.
And indeed, what I often see is having a clear mission, like this dot on the horizon where you want to go to, that it's really empowering to people. If I would ask you what it means for you to be a really authentic leader, what would that mean for you, and how important do you believe it is to actually feel successful as a leader?
Well, I think in my case, so the fact that I am an entrepreneur and the fact that I think my brand represents me. So this is where it really gets authentic, because the brand is actually a projection of my character. So if the brand was to have a personality and an identity, it actually does have mine. So this is where I think it's authentic, because I really find myself at every step of the way.
Yeah.
So far. Now, I don't know when I grow, what happens, because I think once you grow and there's a lot of, economical situation that come, financial decisions that need to be taken, I think sometimes you tend to lose yourself a bit, and I'm hoping to be able to stay on the same path.
True to yourself. Well,
yeah.
In a certain way, it's very beautiful that you say my brand is actually me. And in that sense, it's indeed authentic. In a certain way, we are all role models as well as a leader towards all the people around us, which can be family, people that work for you, customers, really the world around you. I'm also a big believer of, when you look at indeed being a role model, that having a high qualitative life is also very important to show then to the people around us. What are some of the habits that you have created for yourself to guarantee indeed quality in your life and to align your professional goals to other personal intentions that you have?
Well, I think what happens when you are an entrepreneur is that you kind of obsess about your project. So you keep thinking about it at every step of the way, even when you're showering, when you're having breakfast, when you're cooking, when you're, you know, taking care of your kids, you always think about it. So for me, steps that I put into place is just being able to disconnect my mind from that and taking care of your mind and body, of course. Now, I think having good food is good. I think doing sports is good. I think listening to music is good. So as long as you try to put your brain chemistry in a good environment to actually protect you from the ups and downs of an entrepreneurial path.
Yep. You told me just before that you are indeed, you're opening in September now in Etterbeek. You want to have a second store in 2026. You want to go international. If you think about going international and indeed you want to have this quality in your life, you want to stay mentally and physically healthy, and you want to enjoy the other parts of your life as well. What are then your big audacious dreams and goals for Kinemania? How do you see indeed that international expansion? And what do you think will be the impact on how you will have to organize yourself?
Oui, it's a tough question. But I think well, what I would like probably is to be the artistic director of my brand, mm-hmm. And not having to follow, because, you know, when you are an entrepreneur, you are multi-casquette, so you have to do everything at once.
You do the
business side, the production side, the design side, the communication side. So, becoming the artistic director of the brand and hopefully trying to still be authentic. So,
yeah. I'm sure you will stay authentic, Christina. And if you say, I would be more the artistic director, it's also kind of your baby, the brand. So in terms of that, you stay indeed also the face of the brand. Would that mean that you would surround yourself with people like COO, CFO, things like that?
Probably, I guess. But I think also what I've realized, and I think this is part of the authenticity, mm-hmm. is that for me, the relationship I have with people that have helped me grow the project since and that will help me grow for the future is really important. So I really need to connect on a human level to make sure that we are aligned in terms of values, in terms of ethics, in terms of lifestyle, in terms of, so that I can trust that person, one, with my project, but also two, just humanly, you know, to be able to grow together, because especially that those people will actually impact my everyday life. So they need to be people I have pleasure working with. So this is why choosing the right team is super important.
And also, again, then indeed, if you say it, they have to be people that I trust, that have the same vision, they have to understand my lifestyle, also helps you to guarantee that authenticity then mm-hmm. towards the brand and for yourself. All right. A last question, Christina, that I ask all my guests. What is your big secret for sustainable success? And sustainable, I mean then indeed, you know, it has to keep going without sacrificing other things in your life. What would be your one big secret?
I think being stubborn is what keeps me going. That's for sure. I don't know how sustainable
What do you mean with being stubborn, Christine?
So it's that when I have an idea, you know, I'm willing to break walls just to make it happen. So stubbornness would be it. That's on one hand. But two, I mean, there's no way I could have done, you know, I can't be stubborn on my own anyway. So it's just, you know, being surrounded by people who really believe in me. And it's not people who just break me or that think that the project has no potential. So whether family, whether life partner, whether professional. So it's really, I'm lucky and I'm blessed to have the right environment. And this, I think, helps a lot.
Yeah. And you say, I'm stubborn. I when I decide something, I'm stubborn. I would more say that indeed, you know, if stubborn is often kind of a negative or has a negative connotation, would it be the same for you if you say, you know, I really have this powerful mission, vision, where I really believe in and I really put it in the world, and that's more what, that's then again, this dot on the horizon.
Yeah.
Would that be maybe a more positive way to say, you know, I'm stubborn, but no, I have a vision, I have a mission, I really want to put this in the world, and it helps me, or the desire to do that helps me to deal with obstacles or difficult situations I might...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a sweeter way. putting it into place. And especially, I mean, back to the project. So when I say I make storytelling shoes, so for me, it's a storytelling brand. So which means it's a brand that has a soul. So so for me, storytelling shoes, one is because, so let's say the leather that I use is responsible, I take it from suppliers that work it in a responsible way. Storytelling shoes also because I actually put the work of artists and artisan into the spotlight, so I don't hide who made the shoe and I don't hide who I collaborate with, so I really show that as well. And finally, actually, when I say storytelling, it's mainly because shoes are actually, you know, when you wear shoes, this is why actually my slogan, Craft Your Day, because when you wake up in the morning and you wear your shoes, you are responsible for your day. Yeah. So you actually make your day happen and you take the right decisions or sometimes the wrong decisions to make this day go through. So basically, my shoes tell the story of the people who buy them and who wear them. And this, I think, gives so much meaning and soul. And voilà, and I, this is what keeps me going, my project, because I'm in love with my mission.
When I hear you say, yeah, people in the morning, they get up, they put on their shoes, and yeah, it crafts your day. There it's, yeah, it reminds me, or I link it directly with, you know, it's how you show up, the shoes that you wear. It also empowers a lot of people, you know, I have this meeting, I'm going to put on mm-hmm. these shoes. It's indeed part of your showing up every day, going to places.
Definitely, and I think as well, I think the design signature of the shoe really represents that empowerment, like yeah, you say. Yeah. So it's not, well, it's flat shoes. I don't think we've mentioned it, but it's flat shoes with a beautiful sense of detail. So it's actually, in a way, classical shoes with a little twist. So really mm-hmm. within good attention to details, with beautiful leather, beautiful raw material, beautiful workmanship. So it's, I do think that they are shoes that empower you and that give you a good reflection of yourself when yeah. you wear them.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, Christina, for coming all the way to Antwerp. If the listeners are inspired by Kinemena, if they want to have a taste of this storytelling, if they want to yeah, have a look and feel on how the shoes look like, where and how can they find you?
Well, I will not give already the address of my new boutique because I will sign this new address in the next few days. But they can see it on the website, mm-hmm. kinamania.be. And of course, Instagram, Facebook, etc. Yeah. is kinamania.atelier. And for now, if they would like, whomever is in Brussels till the end of July, the store is in the Galerie du Roi, number 22. And it's really beautiful, so I really recommend that people
come. It is beautiful. Yeah.
Otherwise, as of September, well, depending on the works, maximum October yeah. in the official new address.
Yeah. All right. I will add it in the show notes where they can find you. For all the listeners, thanks for listening also to this episode in English. If you heard stories that resonate or if you heard something where you say, okay, I want to have a confidential conversation about it, you can always reach out. You can do it via Instagram or LinkedIn, or you can book a call via the link in the show notes. When you contact me via Instagram or LinkedIn, I always commit myself on answering within 48 hours. Thank you for listening and stay tuned.